Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi may have been sitting right behind the president last night. Hillary Clinton could be the next president. But the tip top of American corporate power is still overwhelmingly a boys' club. Nina DeSessa says women can break in. She's done it herself. The trick, she says, is to unabashedly use women's strengths in a man's world and some of the boys' tricks, too. We'll ask what she means by that and what she makes of women pushing higher in American politics today. This hour on Point, Nina DeSessa on women at the top. Joining me now from New York is Nina DeSessa, chairman of McCann Erickson New York, the big ad agency. She's worked in advertising for three decades. In 1999, Fortune magazine named her one of the 50 most powerful women in American business. If you know MasterCard's priceless ad campaign, you've got a taste of her work. Now she's out with a new book called Seducing the Boys Club, Uncensored Tactics from a Woman at the Top. Nina DeSessa, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, it's my pleasure to be here.
Publishers Weekly looks into your book and says, you know, you talk about manipulating and seducing and learning to exhibit male behavior throughout, but it looks to them like hard work, talent, and insight into human nature are the real drivers behind your success. Why do you put it in terms of seduction and manipulation?
Well, you know, when I mention seduction, I'm not talking about sex. You know that, right?
You're in advertising, so you know that that's exactly what it conveys.
Well, I always say that if you want to control men, sex is easy. What's hard is seduction and manipulation because it takes a lot longer, and you have to do it very carefully so they don't know that you're doing it. You have to be very deft at it. And, you know, if they see it coming, they'll just ignore you.
So is that really what you did? I mean, you got in the trenches a long time ago. Left New York, went out to Madison, Wisconsin. You were writing ad copy for a department store out there, as I recall. You climbed a long way up to the top. And was it real? I mean, you were creative director there at McCann Erickson, New York. Now you're chairman. Was it really about seduction, manipulation, however you want to define them, that got you up the ladder?
Well, for the first half of my career, I didn't do this. I just yelled and screamed like everybody else does when they see inequities, you know, and it really wasn't making me happy and it wasn't really helping me. And then at the midway point, I had an epiphany and I decided that if I wanted to get these men, especially on my side, I had to find a way to make them feel comfortable with me, to like me, and to trust me so that they would promote me and then eventually, when I got to the top, to follow me. You know, I mean, I think a man has a lot of different techniques for leadership, but a woman doesn't really have that many options. A man can be very dictatorial and he can instill fear in people and he can get away with that because people expect that from a man. But a woman who tries to lead that way is not appealing, and people won't follow her. That was my experience.
I wonder if a man can really be a straight-up dictatorial leader these days and be successful for very long. But you start right out with your title with a kind of claim. You know, it's Seducing the Boys Club. Is it still a boys club at the top in corporate America?
Well, I can't speak for all of corporate America, but there are certain industries that are definitely still boys clubs. Advertising is definitely a boys club. I think I don't really know about other industries. I just know what women have told me.
But I mean, you've got the big statistic that it's 2% of CEOs in the Fortune 1000. I guess maybe that speaks for itself. Maybe that number is all you need to know.
You know, there's a reason why we're not making more headway here. And it's you know, my philosophy has been that if men felt more comfortable with us, if we could learn to adopt some of their male traits that make them successful, that we could remind them of the things they admire most, and that's themselves. They always like somebody who kind of they can see themselves in. And, you know, women definitely have a set of skills that we do really well, and men have a set of skills that they do really well, and we need to, like, share them. Both of us, male and females, need to borrow each other's gifts.
We can hear your, by whatever means necessary, kind of strategy coming through here. You're very plain, right up front. You say, after all your years of experience in the corporate world, that just hard work and good intentions and high ambition are not enough. This is your message to essentially young American women. You better explain that. I think a lot of them will say, well, that ought to be enough, and that's what I'm going to do.
I thought it was enough. For 15 years, I thought it was enough, you know, because I really worked hard. And I think that what happens is that we, you know, we go through four stages in this process. And I think the first stage is when we're in our 20s, and we don't see that there's a gender inequity because everybody's kind of treated the same when you're at the entry level. We're all treated badly.
Nobody, you know, look at a man, work hard, pay nothing.
And I think what happens is somewhere along the line, the man who is sitting next to you gets a raise and has to boast about it. And then you ask the stupidest question of your life. You ask him what he makes, and he'll tell you. And you realize he makes a lot more than you do, even though you're doing the same job. And in your opinion, you're doing a better job. So that ignorance stage, it's what everybody goes through. I did it. All women out of college or out of school or early entry into the workforce go into that stage. We just don't know. We don't know that there's going to be a gender inequity. But when we get into our 30s and we start being passed over for upper management responsibilities, you know, then we start to understand that it's a double standard and it's not a level playing field. And our reaction to that is often very emotional.
And so to that woman who's in her 30s or maybe 40s and bumping up against that, but whose response is, don't ask me to get all smarmy and seductive with these men. I'm working hard. I deserve the promotion. I deserve to lead. What are you saying?
Well, you know, I'm not telling women to seduce men in the classical sense. That just gets us into trouble. I'm just saying to manipulate the situation so that you're in control of your life and your career. And if you do it with charm and you do it in a way that men respond well to, then you can persuade them to be on your side. And with manipulation without the seduction is just a bad thing. And that's where manipulation gets a bad word. You know, but if you do seduction and manipulation, if the men want to follow you, if the men want to support you, if the men feel comfortable with you in the room, if you're more like them than you really are naturally. You know, men do a couple of things really, really well, and we don't do those things really, really well. We could learn them.
Right, and we'll look at those. I was trying to work up to this slowly, but the seduction word keeps coming, and you say it's not sexual, but you abbreviate it S&M. So, I mean, you're having fun all the way through here with the double entendre. But so what exactly do you mean by seduction when it comes to women positioning themselves for leadership in an organization?
Well, I think that all men respond the same way. The men that you know, that women know in their personal lives, starting with their father and their brothers and their boyfriends, are really not that different with the men that women meet in the business world. But when they're in the business world, they do treat these men differently. It's almost like Hillary is afraid to be seen as a woman. She doesn't want to have womanly traits. She's competing with men, and she wants to be strong, and she wants to appear tough and unrelenting, and she wants to have all those male characteristics so she can compete with them. But with men, you have to, I think, what I did finally was I tried to get these men on my side. I tried to seduce them into wanting to please me if I was their leader, or wanting to help me get ahead if they were my bosses or if they were my supervisors.
Is that different in working with men and women, or is it the same, you know, whether your colleagues are men, or are you seducing in this kind of not exactly sexual sense? Is seduction something that all leaders use for people of all genders?
Well, I think the good leaders do that. And I certainly don't differentiate between the men and the women. The women, I have a shorthand with women. I have a better time with the women because we're on the same wavelength. Men take a little longer and a little more energy and patience. But, yeah, of course. I mean, a really good leader wants to motivate people because you can force somebody to come to work on the weekends, but you can't force them to come up with good ideas. They have to do that because they want to, they want to please you and they want to be, they want to do the right thing for you if you're their leader. You can't force somebody to have loyalty, and you can't really frighten somebody into doing their best work.
You've got a lot of nitty-gritty tips in here, and we're going to get deep into them because, I mean, that's what a career is made of, one nitty-gritty step at a time. But I can still just imagine listeners kind of, maybe one in particular, kind of grinding their teeth and saying, come on, you're embracing a double standard, saying that women have to do it differently. Why?
Yeah, because there is a double standard. I mean, when I was in college, I thought by this time things would be very different. And it's not really that different. There are more women working in places, but they're all like in that middle range. There are very few women who make it to the top where they have actual, financial responsibilities for a company, or where they're really seen as the spiritual leader of a company. And that's all I want for women, is the ones who want to get to that point should be able to do it, and they're not getting there fast enough or in greater enough numbers.
You wrote recently, I know a lot of women who will object to the notion of using seduction and manipulation in the workplace. Why should we stoop to conquer, they ask? We're smart, we're educated, and we work as hard as the men. You write, Nina DeCessa, that's not enough. We've been doing that for years, and where has it gotten us? Nina, please stand by in New York. We'll come right back with much more. The new book is Seducing the Boys Club. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about women taking, holding, and using power, getting a kind of frank how-to with a woman who's been there and done it. My guest is Nina DeCessa. She's chairman of McCann Erickson New York, the flagship office of the big ad agency. She's author of Seducing the Boys Club, Uncensored Tactics from a Woman at the Top. And let's go straight to the phones. Sherry's calling from Charleston, South Carolina. Sherry, you're on the air with Nina.
Tom, I just want to call and say I think Nina's right. I work for a company who doesn't have any women in management, and I feel like there's a lot of women in our company that have the skills, the intelligence, and the experience to be in management, and we continually get passed over for those positions. Obviously, what we're working for is we're not working hard enough, or maybe we need a different strategy, because it seems like we have to work longer, harder, and be smarter just to stay below the people who pass us up.
Sherry, I like your candor. Let's have a little coaching session right here. Nina DeCessa, here's Sherry. She's in Charleston. It's not working for women in her company. What questions would you ask? How would you begin to analyze, what's going on there?
First of all, Cheryl, I mean, what you just said, everybody I know, all the women I know say the same thing, and I used to say the same thing too. I mean, it's so frustrating because we, in many cases, we're better and we still don't get the promotion. And I think that, men like women who like them. So when I would yell and scream at them because they were being bad or they weren't, treating me fairly, they would just not hear me. They wouldn't listen to what I was saying. And I had to learn how to manipulate them. I know everybody hates that word, but I'll give you an example. When I was married, my first husband was an out-of-work actor, and he wouldn't help around the house because he was Sicilian. And I was doing all the work, working, shopping, cooking, cleaning. And so I brought home a really heavy vacuum cleaner. And after a couple of days, I said, I'm going to return this because I just can't. News is it's too big for me, and it's hitting me, and it's breaking my toes. And you know what he said?
Huh.
He's I'll do it.
Then he could do it.
And he did.
The big, strong man will step in.
And so he vacuumed all the time, but only when I was around so I could fawn over him and tell him what a great job he was doing.
Sherry,
we get the lesson. That's what manipulation is.
What I'm hearing, cater to their ego and...
But, you know, that I have to say it sounds like all kinds of traps in that. Sherry, give us some more firsthand description here. Think of, in your firm, think of the best, most ambitious woman, and what is she doing or not doing that might keep her from getting higher in the company?
I think, and in my case, I think I get perceived as being cocky and overly aggressive because I play, you know, I play the hard game, and I want to do everything, and I want to be right, and I want to be involved in everything, and I work harder, and I think it's almost looked down upon instead of being rewarded.
What do you say, Nina?
Yeah, it's exactly right. They feel threatened by that. But I think that when push comes to shove, they want strong women on their side. You just have to get there in spite of them. You have to, you know, if they think that it's their idea to promote you, or if they think that that they're the ones who are seeing something in you that nobody else sees. That's what I mean when I say manipulate them and play to their egos. You don't want to do it to the point where you feel bad. You know, you don't want to lose your personal integrity in this because there's a line and everybody has a line. But if these men liked you more, they would let you into their club. They would probably even follow you on certain tasks if they thought that you liked them. You know, that men don't like women who don't like them. They're just all of them are like that.
But it may be natural for women to give off some sense of resentment if they feel like they're being unfairly excluded.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
You're saying get over it?
Get over it. You can't do that with them. They're like dogs. They listen like blah, 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 good dog, blah, 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 blah. All they hear is good dog. They don't hear anything else. And so you have to, you know, you have to almost think about child psychology in a way. And men are not offended when I say this. They glow. They think, oh, boy. Because I think about them so much, they feel special. But they don't really care in what context I think about them. But if you think about, you know, two-year-old and, you know, and child psychology and how do you get somebody to do something that they don't really want to do and make it seem like it's their idea? It's kind of invisible persuasion. And, you know, you're smart enough to figure out how to get it done in your office with the men who are around you. You just have to pay attention and figure it out, and you can do it. You don't even need me to tell you. Just figure out how to get them on your side.
Sherry, give him a pat on the head, but don't stop climbing there, and thanks for your call. Let's get one from Acton, Massachusetts. Esme is on the line. Hi, Esme, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just wanted to call and ask your guest just what she thinks she's doing, giving away our secrets. I mean, I graduated from an excellent college in 1983, just a year after the whole country had sort of slapped us across the face, and, you know, plunged into the workforce, made a total jerk of myself, got nowhere, and, you know, was stunned to find that, oh, my God, this it's not what... I went to a woman's college, and they said I was so powerful, and, oh, geez, it's not true. And over the next generation, I've been trying to develop a new strategy, and well, that was it. And I thought it was going to be, you know... Well, I'm just afraid you've just given it all to the enemy. You know, you've just given them our playbook now, and they're going to be looking out for us seductive young women. But, well, okay.
But Esme, you know, are you so sure it'll work, Esme? Is there a danger here of a young woman hearing be seductive and missing the kind of nuance about persuasion and falling back into some kind of old dynamic with the male bosses?
I think
she doesn't mean seduction. But, you don't mean seduction in a sexual way. You mean
absolutely
in a charming way.
It's charming. It's, you know, and frankly, this is, if my fellow alumni heard me say this, I think I'd probably have my degree taken back. But it's almost like playing dumb. You know, but the deal is we're in control of this game. It's not the men telling us who we have to be. We're saying to the men, we're doing what we need to do to get ahead. And we have to keep our eyes on the prize. We want the promotion. Do we want, you know, if we have a choice, these people can treat us with respect and we can be paid less and not be promoted, or do we want to just go ahead and play into their little game of inferiority or whatever they think it is and get ahead of them? What does it matter?
They think, you know, they think it's softness. They don't think we're inferior. I think for the most part, men recognize intelligent women. They think we're soft. we're not tough enough, you know, we're soft. And,
oh,
but I
well,
think, you know, men aren't going to read this book, so you don't have to worry about men getting our secrets.
Well, they may be listening right now, but women too. Esme, thanks for that. And you know, I wonder how women are hearing it. We've got to get into some more of the detail, but let's hear from a few more. Kate in Boston, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm calling to say that, you know, I'm pretty offended by, I think, the tactics that your guest is suggesting to use in the workplace. I'm in my early 30s. Mm-hmm. I'm a professional woman. I went to law school.
Mm-hmm.
I work in a legal services office, so it's a field that I think is traditionally considered more a women's field than opposed to, you know, corporate
okay.
law.
Yep.
But I've been able to be a success in my office. It's I think that by suggesting that women either need to be manipulative, we're playing into the stereotypes that have always plagued women in high and powerful positions that I think Hillary is experiencing as well. She's too hard. She's too, you know, power hungry, et cetera. And I think if we then on the other spectrum, what a previous caller mentioned, talk about women playing dumb. Well, I don't see how that fits into the idea of women fitting into the business world and being, you know, commanders and leaders in the industry.
Yeah, not just fitting in, but ultimately leading. Yeah.
Right, and I think it sends out a really dangerous message. You know, granted, I'm, you know, I perhaps haven't lived through, you know, as many generations of women and how things have changed, but what I can say is that the experience I've had professionally, I think is very different. For example, my mom, who's a doctor, she was one of a handful of women in her medical school, and my law school class was made up of a majority of women.
And still so 2% of those Fortune 1000 CEOs women.
Right, but I don't think that that necessarily means that we haven't made strides. I think obviously that shows that there's still a glass ceiling. I think obviously that shows that it's still a struggle for women to get ahead. But the idea that we have to manipulate our way through it, I'm not saying not having business smarts doesn't make sense, but I think that there have been changes, and to say that the way that women have been working in the business place hasn't been working at all because there's been no change in 20 years is inaccurate.
Kate, we hear it, and we're going to get into the detail to let Nina sort of lay out her wares in more nuance. But Nina, right there, Kate's offended by the kind of headline here.
Yeah, no, I expect that a lot of women will take this at face value and be offended, and I hope if they read the book that they would not be. But I didn't say play dumb. That was Esme who said play dumb. I don't believe that women should play dumb at all or pretend to be less strong and less smart and less talented than they are. I'm just saying that you work for men. I mean, I never worked for a woman ever. So I've always worked for men, and some of them saw me as a contender, and some didn't. And I had to decide what was the difference here. What was I doing differently with the ones who were not behind me? And I think the ones who were not behind me, I didn't like. And it's men who are like have the sensitivity of a bag of marbles can always tell when you don't like them. You know, if they think you don't like them, they're not going to be there for you. So that's the manipulation I'm talking about. I'm not talking about using your feminine wiles to, you know, seduce them into caring about you. I'm saying use your brains, use your talent, and use your ambition, but make sure that these men are on your side. And if you don't work in a boys' club, I don't think, Kate. You know, you work in a meritocracy. So it's kind of different. In a boys' club, they don't let you in. You know, they huddle in their offices and tell each other jokes, and they go to play golf together, and they shut you out. And you got to find a way to get in that club if you want to compete with them.
Nina, you're not shy about saying, let's look at female traits and male traits and make use of both. That's interesting. Some people, you know, want to take those gender labels right off of all kinds of strengths. But let's go with your structure for a second here. What are the female traits, as you put them up, that you would say women should identify and use?
Well, we already have them. Some women use them and some women don't because they feel they, for some reason, don't want to use them. But we have unbelievable instincts. And when we are in a meeting, you know, we're listening with our eyes as well as our ears. Men tend to be step thinkers, and they just hear what they are, what their preconceived ideas are, you know.
Or the literal words.
Yeah, and if they think, oh, I know how this meeting's going to go, brum, 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 and anything that happens to support that, they remember, and things that negate that, they don't remember. So you have to have women in the room because they read the room. Women read the room because we leap to conclusions. It's a very gift. It's a gift that we have because we're wired. Our brains are wired.
So that comes in the category of what, intuition or empathy?
Yeah, and I think that you cannot. Empathy is the next best thing to mind reading. If you can put yourself in somebody else's shoes, you're going to know what they're thinking and what they're going to do next. Men don't care what other people are feeling, so they don't use empathy. But women are very strong, empathetic leaders.
But that means that men have succeeded without it. So
because they have these other traits that are very powerful. And that's why if we can, you know, retain the things that we do well instinctively and naturally and learn a couple of the things that they do well, then we could be contenders in a big way.
So on the women's side of the ledger, you put intuition, empathy, compassion, collaboration, mm-hmm. listening.
Yeah, I mean,
and you say embrace those. Go with those. Use them.
Yeah, there isn't a woman who has, you know, had a job who doesn't understand that and believe that. And I'm not telling women anything new in that regard. What I'm saying that might be new to them is that in addition to those great gifts, they need to develop some of the things that men do so well.
Such as?
I think that men are more confident and braver than we are. They're willing to make a mistake. They're willing to fail. We have a hard time with failing because we haven't really been allowed to spread our wings enough. So every opportunity is a test for us, and we don't want to fail, you know.
So does that translate into decisiveness? You're saying don't be afraid to be decisive?
Men are also very decisive because of that confidence and that fearlessness. And I've talked to men about this, and they say, yeah, we're scared all the time. We just don't show it. And I said, fine. You can fake confidence and fake bravery. You know, you don't have to actually be brave. You can just act brave, and people will be, you know, people will appreciate that. They don't want their leaders to be scared, and they don't want the people that they're going to promote to be scared. You don't want to be in the trenches, even if you're in the day-to-day job with someone who's fearful.
You point to focus as a strength in itself, even though you kind of present it as a half weakness on men's part.
Yeah, no, it's not a weakness. Men don't know how to multitask. If we're raising triplets, we need to multitask. You know, men don't know how to do that, and so instead they focus and they compartmentalize. And in business, that's probably an asset because they attack a problem, they fix it, then they go on to the next one. And women are, you know, we're juggling 15 balls. And nobody goes and evaluates a woman and says, oh, well, she was juggling 15 balls and she dropped 12 of them, but two of them were okay. They look at it and say, what were the big wins? What did she do? What were the kills? The men do one at a time, and they succeed. And we tend to scatter our thinking and scatter our energies because we can.
The kills, you know? And straight-up competitiveness. You put that in the men's category, but surely women they want to win too.
Oh, yeah. I'm probably one of the most competitive people I know. I'm very competitive. You know, I mean, the reason I do what I do is because I want to win. You can't always win with a straight head-on attack. Sometimes you got to win by coming into the side and taking people off guard and surprising them. You know, the trick is to win. And if you're a woman frustrated with the progress of your career, then you need to figure out your own tactics. Figure out your own plan. It doesn't have to be mine. This was what worked for me. With my personality and my, you know, profession that I chose, this is what worked for me. But you do what works for you, but do something. Don't sit around and wait for these men to say, discover you. Oh my, you've been here all along and you're brilliant. You know, by that time, you know, it's probably too late.
Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point. We're talking this hour about women taking, holding, and using power, kind of how-to session with a woman who's been there and done it. Nina DeCessa is with us. She's chairman of McCann Erickson New York, author of Seducing the Boys Club, Uncensored Tactics from a Woman at the Top. Nina DeSessa writes on Adweek.com just this week. She says, I have noticed that the women who make it in these boys' clubs, by which she means most of corporate America, have a few things in common. The main thing is that almost all of us were promoted and supported by men. The men we worked for and with felt comfortable around us. We learned to adopt some of the male traits that make men so successful, and in doing so, we reminded the men of the thing they admire most, themselves. She goes on to say, at the same time, we can't become just like men. We know what those women are like. Savannah, Georgia, Sharon, you're on the air with Nina DeSessa.
Hi, very, very interesting conversation. And I think that, and I really agree a lot, Nina, with what you've said, and I realize now that your word of seduction is kind of metaphorical. I think that women and men have had a different playbook from childhood, and that's part of the reason. And, you know, there are gender differences, there are psychic differences, if you will, between the way men and women tick, the way that we're wired. And I think in my industry, there have been a couple of top women, and I've had a number of female bosses. And there are kind of different ways of approaching things, but in my own experience as well, I think women that can kind of be, you know, almost one of the boys in a way, still be feminine, but just have a way about them to where men kind of can relate to them almost on an equal footing, and it's kind of a hard thing to put in words. I think either you have it or you don't.
Sharon, do you think men and women get to play by the same playbook in the corporate settings you've seen?
Well, I think that there's a playbook, and it's written by men. And if women can't learn to play it, they're left out. And don't forget that a lot of business is done out of the office. Mm-hmm. It's on the golf course. You know, it's at the health club. And, you know, you have to be able to, you know, do some guy things, I think, or at least, you know, kind of go out into their playing field and incorporate your own, like Nina said.
Nina, Sharon says you've got it or you don't when it comes to playing this game. What do you say?
I think that Sharon's right. I mean, but there are some women who just don't have the makeup to do this. But then there are a lot of women who do, and those are the ones I would love to see get as far as they want to go. You know, one of the awful things that we do as women, I notice this about myself too, I still do this myself, is that we deflect glory. And like if somebody says that we did a good job, Oh, I couldn't have done it without my team. Oh, they did so much work. Oh, my God, I was in my team.
Whereas
great.
The man says,
thank you.
Yes, I did. Thank you.
That's all he says is thank you. You know, nobody does anything alone. Of course you had a team. Of course there were people supporting you. But women don't know how to take the credit and run. Yeah. You know, I mean, we're so fair-minded sometimes. It's almost a fault of ours to be so fair-minded. And then our fair-mindedness is also what makes us crazy. You know, because we know that life should be equal and fair, and we know that we're as good as they are in many ways, probably better at some things.
And yet, if you don't, just put your fork in.
I know. It's like the gender inequities make us nuts, you know. And you know what? It's okay to get mad in the workplace. It's okay to lose it once in a while. You know,
it's even okay to cry, you say. Dangerous territory, it sounds like.
Yeah, we got to watch that because you can't blubber your way to the top. But if you're a strong woman and you have their respect and something, and you feel strongly enough about something to let your voice shake like Hillary did in New Hampshire, you get their attention big time. First, because they say, wow, she really must feel strongly about this. And the second thing is they're terrified that you're going to cry. Men are so terrified to be in front of a woman when she cries. They don't know what to do. You know,
Quite true.
But you don't actually have to cry, but you have to show that you have a passion for things, that you care enough about something. And
even let that voice shake and shake their world.
Yeah. I think she won the New Hampshire election because she allowed them to see that humanity in her. I'm sure of it. She was geared to lose, you know.
Let's get another call from Sharon. Thanks, in Savannah. Here we've got Julian in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Hi, Julian. You're on the air with Nina DeSessa.
Hi. I was just wanting to call to point out that men are already engaged in this seduction. That's what the boys' club is. It's a bunch of men seducing each other, currying up good favor among themselves. To take an example of this, the movie this happens in the movie In Pursuit of Happiness, which is based on a true story, and
with Will Smith.
In that movie,
yeah.
Will Smith's character engages in this seduction to curry up good favor with potential high-profile clients.
The backslapping, the glowing praise, maybe even the sweet time on the golf course and the 19th
exactly.
hole.
He goes to baseball sporting events with them, and that's what curries up good favor to cause them, these potential clients, to want to give him business. Mm-hmm. And that's what causes him to be able to advance in the end.
Nina, guys are out there saying you're the man, plenty. Are they already deep in this seduction manipulation game among themselves?
Yeah, I think they do that very well. I mean, I watch men all the time. I've always been fascinated with them. And of course they do that, but they do it in a very intriguing way, and it isn't misread when they do it. It's guys to guys, and they kind of appreciate each other when they do it with each other. But everybody manipulates. If you manipulate benevolently so that you're not the only one to benefit from it, you know, people will not hold that against you. If you can manipulate a situation and get what you want, but also in the process make somebody else look good or benefit the company or the client or mankind or
But it is tricky when you bring the two genders in here. I mean, one of the things you speak to is you call it how to flirt with integrity. Mm-hmm. I mean, you say it's not about sex, yet sexuality is out there. You start getting into all this seduction, you know, corporate flirting. How does a woman do that in a boys' club with integrity?
Well, you have to make sure that the flirting you're doing is charming and not an invitation to anything that would be sexual promises in any way. I mean, the biggest mistake a woman makes is to fall into that trap. Once they see you as a sex object, they don't take you seriously anymore. I mean, the easiest way to control them is with sex. So that's, you know, that's your first idea. I'll just flirt my way through and make them want me in the room. But if they want you in the room because they like to look at you, that's not good. They need to want you in the room because you contribute something to their success. If you make money for a man, you know, there's only one thing a man likes more than sex, and that's money. You know, so if you can make money for him, if you can be good enough at what you do to help him succeed, then he will allow himself to be seduced and manipulated by you. And I think that's what women have to think about. There has to be the greatest, most powerful sentence in the English language is "What's in it for me?" You know, everybody has to have that sentence, that question answered. Otherwise, they are totally unmotivated to do anything. And if you can be a benevolent manipulator so that there is something in it for them, then they won't resent you for it. The men that I work with and that I have worked with in other places swear up and down that they were never manipulated by me. They never saw that. And they said, oh, we thought you loved us.
I wonder, but now they're reading the book. I wonder what they're thinking.
Now they're reading the book. Yeah, I got to be more careful with how I manipulate them now.
It's out there. Tom is calling from Providence, Rhode Island. Tom, you're on the air.
Hi, I've been listening for a while. This has been really interesting. One thing I wanted to point out before I get to my question was that I think that, you know, this strategy in the absence of skill and competence in the workplace is not going to work. I mean, maybe that's been assumed in this discussion.
I think so. Nina, can we just say yes to that?
Yeah, of course. That's a point of entry.
There's a given. Okay, Tom?
Yeah, it's not going to make it. So, I mean, I do agree with, I think, the earlier caller, Julian, who had said with men this strategy is employed, and there's a lot more subtlety to this process even for men than Nina's suggesting. I mean, she's made a lot of generalizations about men that, you know, if I were to do the same thing about women, I'd be tarred and feathered.
Yeah, well,
the generalizations she's making that are just not true about men. But my question
Such as what, Tom?
Well, you know, the thing she said before about, well, the only thing, you know, men like more than sex is money, you know, that's kind of a throwaway comment. It kind of demeans men a little bit. And again, if I were a guy to say something similar about women,
leaves out beauty and truth and a lot of other finer things.
Yeah, yeah. So, but my question
Money's pretty nice. I'm fooling with you. Where are you going with it, Tom?
Yeah, no, my question is actually along the opposite lines. It's for men or for women, either way, what if you find this type of stuff exhausting and unsatisfying on a day-to-day basis? I mean, she sounds like, to some degree, she gets satisfaction out of this. But I work in an environment where I have to do something rather similar. I think women do as well. And frankly, it's not that satisfying. So, you know, what advice does she have for people who say, well, if I got to do this to play the game, maybe I need to find a different game? And actually, also, maybe I can also ask, doesn't this challenge your views of genders to have a man asking you this question?
Yeah, you know, I love it that you're asking this. Mm. I love that you're asking this question. You know, it is exhausting. It's tiring for me. But I do love it. I do love trying to make people do better than they thought they could do. And that's, as a creative director and as a leader in an advertising agency, that's my job. But if you don't want to do it, if you don't have the energy to do it, then do something else. I mean, you don't have to. Being a collaborative person is a royal pain in the butt because you have to actually listen to people. You have to listen to their ideas. You have to consider that they might have a better idea than you do. And sometimes you even have to implement their ideas. And that's time consuming. And if you don't have the patience for that or you don't want to lead with that, then do something else. I'm not saying that everybody is going to benefit from this, but there's probably a fairly good percentage of men and women who feel frustrated in the workplace because they are smart, they are talented, they are hardworking, and they're still not getting the advancements or the opportunities to prove themselves that they want. And so all I'm saying is, you know, get to know your quarry, get to know these people, find out what they value, and find out a way to get inside them in their heads. And if you're working for somebody like this, be the kind of person that they want in the trenches with them. And if these people are working for you, then be the kind of person that gets the best out of them. Every creative person that I would send back to their room to do better work would always be pissed off. They'd slam their doors. I know they're cursing me. But then they would come back with a better idea. And the creative directors who forced that kind of digging, you know, are the ones that they cherish and the ones that they remember, not the guy who accepted everything that they did and didn't ask them to be better.
And all the corporate seduction and manipulation, was it worth it for you, Nina? I mean, I guess it was your chairman. At the same time, you're semi-retired. I'm reading here you got a country place and 6 horses outside New York. It sounds like you did all right by it.
Looking back. But I'm not semi-retired yet. I'm longing for that. But, you know, it worked for me. It still works for me. Now I work internationally with other offices and different cultures and different, you know, people, different languages. And I still have to, you know, use invisible persuasion with the, they all have their way of doing things. It's very difficult to, you know, work with people who are so different from you. And so I'm still doing it. You know, I'm doing it with a vengeance now, you know, and I'm successful at it because when I do manipulate a situation, everybody wins, not just me.
Let's get another caller to Eileen in Faceton, Vermont. Eileen, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you know, Eileen?
Well, I've been in the car business for almost 30 years.
As in selling cars, or like new cars?
I have sold cars. I have fixed cars. I have worked in the parts department and been service manager.
So you've met a couple of men along the way in that business, I bet.
Just a couple.
Yeah.
And I have to make a couple of points. I find it difficult to categorize men so easily. And I realize, Nina, that it's not easy to say this, but I think that when we talk about men in such general negative terms, I think we compound the situation that we're in. I think that, like all species, animal, vegetable, or mineral, there are all kinds of men, and they all respond differently, just as all women respond differently. So that's my first point.
Yeah.
And I also think that women do have a tendency to set themselves up for some of the aggravation that they find in the workplace, and we all do this to a different degree through language and body posture and by allowing ourselves to assume that the men are smarter. And I think that's often a function of age, Now that I'm in my 50s, that doesn't happen to me as often as it did when I was in my 30s.
We can hear that.
Yeah.
and glad to.
but it really is something that women have to be very conscious of. We have a lot of verbal cues that we don't see in ourselves. We might see them in other people, but we don't. You know, like, I'm not sure if you agree with me, but I think that maybe we ought to try it this way. And I think that that totally sabotages what we do.
As opposed to, let's do it this way, maybe. Eileen, our time is very short. I appreciate your insights. Nina, we've just got a minute here. How do you respond?
I just want to say one thing. I hope I don't give the impression that I find men inferior or in any way negative. I love the men that I've worked with and work with now, and I do know that they're different. But I have to generalize, otherwise I can't have a conversation. You know, even with myself, I can't have a conversation unless I generalize. But I think that men do share certain traits, just as we share certain traits. And so I can generalize on those traits, but all the men that I know are very different. I told one man, I asked him, couldn't he get in touch with his female side? And he said, and if I had a female side, I'd be touching it all the time. And it was the funniest line he's ever had. You know, it's in my book. I put it in the book because it was just a great line, you know.
But we may not hold him up as a paragon of sensitivity. On the other hand, you've got him red. You've got him red now. Oh, boy. Nina DeSessa, there you are with a big career behind you and now sharing. We appreciate your candor and we appreciate your time today. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
Nina DeSessa, chairman of McCann Erickson, New York. Her new book is Seducing the Boys Club, Uncensored Tactics from a Woman at the Top. Listeners, you can continue the conversation and download the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.